Finally, here we are, the Convo, Norm and Mike for Sunday, February 5th, 2023, coming off the All-Star yawn. Have you awoken, Mike?
I'm well rested. Very, very much so. It's like, it's funny because the NHL's trying so hard to be, you know, like, oh, we're going to have the golf contest. Oh, we're going to have the, it's like the speed and the skating competition and the shooting competition. Just do that. Just do the things that have worked and end it. It's like,
here's my issue with it is that you're trying to, you know, personalize these athletes and give them a face and give them a character. Nobody in Florida gives a flying fuck about these guys. They don't care about Mitch Marner coming out in a suit and stupid glasses. You know where they care about that kind of shit? In Edmonton, in Calgary, in Vancouver, Montreal, maybe Detroit, some of the northern places. And I understand they're trying to take the game south and grow the game because, I mean, in terms of television ratings lately, they've stagnated. I understand. But nobody in Florida cares about these guys. They just want to see fucking hits. They want to see goals. So you're doing something that's interesting in that appreciate what the effort is putting forth right now, but again, it's in the wrong place because nobody down there has a personal connection with Mitch Marner or Matt Tkachuk, but they do in like northern hockey markets where they understand who these guys are, where they know these players, perhaps because they played junior there or they played in their city before and would love to see that kind of shit. So for me, it's misplaced. And I apologize, OGs and Converse, for the diatribe about the All-Star game. And we sound like a bunch of curmudgeons, and sometimes we are. But this is the Leafs combo, and we'll try to keep it centered on that, even though we will talk a little bit about how Toronto has been awarded what will be its ninth All-Star game. Masad Atkins was first in the chat this morning, and he's been waiting around since 6 a.m. So, Masad, thanks very much for your patience. It does pay off to a degree. He says, good morning. My view, unfortunately, the Leafs aren't better than the Bolts or the Bruins this year. I'd keep the picks and develop Nyes into a top six, then go for it next year. Interesting take, Mike. It doesn't seem like Dubas, Shanahan, the brass would go that way, but interesting take.
Well, I agree with Masad. And I do think that there is, see, that this is the thing that right now, we know that Toronto is the center of all hockey rumors. We know, and we know that the Leafs are in what a lot of people perceive as I've heard so many people say, you got to go all in. You got to trade Matthew Nyes. You got to trade a first round. You must. Okay. For what? Okay, so if they lose in the first round, they do all that and they lose to Tampa Bay and Kyle Dubas loses his job, what do you think his resume is going to say? You know, like he has to think about that. He does think about that. He has to think about the team that he is managing right now and what's best for that team right now. And you know, if you can get Timo Meier and not destroy the future of the franchise, fine, that's great. But, you know, more than likely a Timo Meier with no guarantee, and I'm not saying that they're in on him, but it's going to cost you three significant pieces. It would probably cost you Sandin, Nyes, and a number one.
I forget it. Man. That's the thing.
Right. And that's the thing. And this is a guy who's not a rental because he's an RFA and he's got the high qualifying offer. But, you know, more than likely the Leafs are going to treat him like a UFA because they can't match the $10 million qualifying offer to be cap compliant. So that's not going to work. I was up there for the Bruins Leafs game on Wednesday.
Right.
And I, like many people after watching that game, in spite of the fact that, you know, Murray is hurt right now and Matthews is out for another couple weeks. One team is from Mars and the other team is from Venus. There is like one team, like the Leafs are a good team. They have one of the best records in the league, but because of the current playoff format, which I think sucks. I think it should go back to a conference format. And you even heard Sidney Crosby and Nathan MacKinnon talking about going back to a conference format because first round matchups like Toronto, Tampa Bay are inherently unfair.
Right.
But
and you're not upset with this format because the poor Leafs can't get it.
No, No, it's because it's inherently unfair. It's like, okay, you reward the division winners, right, and then it should be 3 through 8. And I believe that there should be a play-in round like in baseball or like in basketball, but Gary Bettman won't do that as long as he's commissioner.
He's the biggest prick on the planet. And, you know, he will go down in his own mind and with his group of intelligentsia as being so revolutionary, but and you can make that argument, but he's the kind of guy who wants to say no and wants to fight and wants to you know, have a terse conversation over something that really does make sense. And I again, unless he can take credit for it, he is not going to be agreeable to these kinds of things. So,
or unless he can get something for it, and that's the whole thing.
What is the idea behind this? Again, OG's conference is a bit of a mishmash today. It feels like forever since we've been together, and it's only been 7 days. But you know, sometimes time goes slow. Other times it's kind of in an accelerated mode. But here we are in the depths of winter, and we're talking hockey. But Gary Bettman, what is his idea here? Why does he feel like this playoff format, for all of its quirks and all of its issues and the hate and the vitriol, thrust towards it by the masses, why does he feel like this is the right playoff format?
I think it's more the fact that, you know, he always wants to get concessions either from the PA or something that will benefit the league out of something like this. And his point of view, and I don't know whether he touched on this when he talked to the media yesterday at the All-Star game, but his point of view is basically, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, sorry, when you started in the league, there were 22 teams. Now there are 32, and you still have 16 teams making the playoffs. Maybe 80% of the league making the playoffs was too much. That was like when the Leafs were making the playoffs in fourth place in the Norris division. But now 16 out of 32 is a bit ridiculous. And it does make more revenue for the league. But the current playoff format, where it's interdivision, except for like the first place teams playing the wild cards, the 2-3 matchups are ridiculous. It's like when you have three teams like Boston, Tampa, and Toronto. Last year was Florida, Tampa, and Toronto, with conceivably all getting like 115, 120 points. And then two of the three being out of the playoffs by the conference final, when maybe two of them should be in the conference final, if based on a 1-8 scenario. It's just bad. I think eventually it's going to get changed, but you know, right now it is what it is. And with the Leafs, they're going to be, you know, they're looking at the situation where they're going to play Tampa. There's no doubt they're going to play Tampa. The only thing that's up in the air right now is whether games 1 and 2 are at Amalie Arena in Tampa or whether they'll be at Scotiabank Arena. That's all. And I think that factors into what Kyle Dubas does, because I don't think the Leafs are good enough that they conceivably can beat Tampa, mm-hmm, but they have to improve their chances of beating Tampa. And how do you do that? Well, I think you need to get more physical. I think you need to get more deep. And if you have, so that does not equate to a big swing for Jacob Chychrun or a big swing for Timo Meier. You're talking about 2 or 3 moves. And one of the moves that I heard, it was a player that Russ Cohen and I talked about a month or a month and a half ago. And then I heard from another reporter that he was hearing this type of player being the type of player that the Leafs would go after. And that's Maxime Comtois from the Anaheim Ducks. He's in his early 20s. He's big, he's physical, he's got talent. He's had a couple years that he hasn't really panned out in Anaheim after leading them in scoring a few years ago. He's cheap, he's a little over $2 million, and he's retainable. He's an RFA with Arbrights, and coming off a year where he's not scoring a ton, his arbitration number is probably not going to be that big. He's the type of big bruising guy that might fit on the left wing with Marner and Tavares, but might fit in a third line role. And that guy, maybe another player who can play the fourth line, another defenseman. I think that's likely where they're going and not the big swing.
This is The Convo. Norm along with Mike, OG's Converse. Thanks for being here. Like the content, subscribe to the channel. Our rebroadcast will be on podcast in the next couple of days. So if you like to listen to us while you're working out and not have to stay on the platform and lose us like you would on YouTube, unless you're paying for the premium package, then just hang in there and we will have a upload of this show to the podcast platform of your choice here in the next few days. Maxime Comtois is an interesting name because it's the first time we've brought him up in this setting. And we've talked about all kinds of players and potential scenarios. You know, with so much, it's the thing, Mike, there seems to be so much riding on the Leafs doing well finally in the playoffs, not for the trajectory of the club, for the potential and future employment of the guys who are running it. So that's the thing. Where are we? Are we a big move or two away from being, you know, putting ourselves in the ultimate position to succeed? Or for all of the issues that we believe this team has, is it a couple of tweaks? You brought up that maybe it is a couple of tweaks, not just necessarily because that's all that's required, but that's really all that can be done without hampering this team's ability to stay competitive and grow at another point down the line.
Yeah, I mean, I look at the situation and the problem with the Leafs is not top six. Mm-hmm. Their top six is fine. Now, would you like a skilled winger that allows you to move Yarncroke down to the third line? Yes, of course you would. But I think Yarncroke on that second line, I think Bunting with Matthews and Marner, I think you have two really effective top lines. The problem is the bottom six. And David W. in the chat is pointing out, you know, the names. It's like Zach Aston-Reese has scored 2 goals in 29 games. Kampf is, I think, has 1 in 24, no goals in 24 games. You know, Wayne Simmons doesn't score. Alex Kerfoot is, you
are
know,
those, that's a bottom six championship group.
Right. And the thing is, if you look at Tampa, you've got Perry and Maroon and, Belmar, and you know, you've got a lot of veteran guys. Mm-hmm. One that won a Hart Trophy,
right?
In there, you got Hagel sometimes plays in the bottom six. You've got really decent quality on those lines. And the Leafs, you know, Kampf was good last year. He was good the first half of this year. He's had a tough like last quarter of the season. You know, are you going to rely on Pontus Holmberg, who I like, or Joey Anderson? Or I mean, there is definitely a gap in terms of Boston's bottom six and in terms of Tampa's bottom six. And that's where I think Dubas has to concentrate. Now,
Mike, and again, your points are amazing. That's why I'm here with you, and so many people want to listen to what you have to say, and thousands more read your stuff at hockeybuzz.com. We don't have a lot of complaints with the Leafs' top six. The goaltending, if those guys are healthy, not a lot of complaints there. They have enough bodies on defense. Will there be as many bodies available and ready to go when the playoffs start? I mean, that's how you roll the dice. But with the bottom six, though, Mike, you know, you have a bunch of these fucking little guys running around and all these little metric queens that Kyle Dubas, you know, loved and now, you know, is having second thoughts about. Wouldn't it be nice, a la Tampa and some of these other teams, you know, worth their weight, to have a bottom six group with guys who have experience, right? Not necessarily the most fleet of foot guys, but who know how to play this game and who've been on big stages in the top core, now playing more of a support role. I don't see anybody down there with any real serious pedigree, anybody who's been through the wars. It's just right. that's the thing. The front to top guys could use the push from veteran presence who can play and be integral, not the Jumbo Joes on the final tour or the Wayne Simmons just trying to, you know, throw punches to stay in the game. That's right. The thing.
And the one guy is Simmons, and Simmons can't really keep up the pace. I mean, we love him. He's
there, right?
He's a warrior, but he can't really do it anymore. And against Tampa and against Boston, because there is a lack of pushback throughout the lineup, it's almost a necessity that Simmons is in the lineup because he's the only guy, you know, like again on Wednesday, AJ Greer scored, and that's a fourth liner. AJ Greer scores for the second straight time against the Leafs. And after he scores the goal, Simmons drops the glove and gets the win in the fight, and that maybe changed the momentum. But obviously, the problem is that like right now your number three line is Kerfoot, Engvall, and Kampf, and it's really not doing much. And then you've got Aston Reese and Holmberg and Joey Anderson and these guys. So you know, really, I think there is a need of an upgrade in that bottom six for guys who can be consequential.
What are they expected to do? That's the thing. What do they think they're supposed to be doing? And what do you think they're supposed to be doing? And what does the fucking organization want these guys to do? What is your role when you're playing bottom six for a team that fancies itself a champion, a potential champion, moving towards another, another road where the quest will begin to right the wrongs of the past and go forward? What is your fucking role down there?
Well, I mean, I think right now in terms of defined roles, things are a little convoluted. I mean, I just think that, you know, they're expecting more out of the players that are there on the fourth line. I think, you know, Engvall, every once in a while, he'll have a game where you look and you say, oh my God, you know, this guy's got so much talent, but he never puts it together. Mm-hmm. All the time. Now in the playoffs last year, you know, he didn't get pushed around. He pushed back. He's got a lot of talent. You know, will this mean that Matthew Nyes, when he signs after he finishes here at Minnesota, he immediately gets inserted into the lineup? I mean, I don't think he's going to get put into a top line role. I think, you know, maybe he plays on a fourth line and then you can control his minutes and use his energy. And that's possible. That's happened before. But
he is kind of a player who is not only NHL ready, but playoff ready right now. Is he that good? Because they do come along, Mike, and they're extremely rare.
Well, I mean, Nick Robertson was inserted into a playoff situation a few years ago against Columbus. So there is a precedent. If you want to go back in history, Danny Marwa, this is in the 80s when he was playing with Vinny Domfus. He was inserted in, I think he came right out of junior and played in the Yeah, he played in that scenario. So it's possible, but I do think more than likely, like I said, if we're looking for sort of a primer towards the trade deadline, I seriously, and you know, I could be proven wrong, and if I am, I'll do a mea culpa. I don't believe the Leafs are going to make a big swing move like a lot of people are talking about, like for Chychrun or Meyer. So if you rule that out, now maybe O'Reilly, if the price is reasonable, because I think O'Reilly fits what they're looking for. But more than like, and there's a lot of talk, and I wrote about this yesterday, about the Leafs having some interest in players from the Blackhawks. And the thing is, you know, there's a relationship there between Kyle Davison and Kyle Dubas. Going back to last year, at the draft, they traded, they swapped picks so that Chicago could trade for Peter Mrazek to guarantee them last place in the league. But they, you know, they have a few players that are either rentals, mm-hmm. or that have term. Now, I know that it's been reported over, say, the last couple weeks of interest in Jake McCabe, the former Sabre. He's got 2 years left in a contract at $4 million. I can't see the Leafs taking him back unless his salary is being retained in that deal, and that will cost him a higher draft pick. Is he a good defenseman? Yeah, he's been injured 3 times. Seriously, a spine injury, a knee injury, a shoulder injury. That's the last thing this team needs, is to get somebody who has had a checker.
And every name is worthy of discussion, but when you know, we know that the bottom six is the issue. Why is a Jake McCabe even being considered? I mean, especially if he has had a history of injury.
Well, the thing is, I'm skeptical of any rumor that the Leafs are interested in a defenseman, because not to say that I don't think they can upgrade, but I think they have bigger fish to fry than adding another defense. You know, are you going to spend significant assets to add Gavrikov or to add Jake McCabe? Or Connor Murphy, which is another one that I just don't get, because he's got like 3 years left at over $4 million and he's not that good. He's never been that good.
Right.
So I'm skeptical of those rumors simply because that could be an agenda being pushed by, like, say, Chicago to get those names out there and to drive up the price. And anytime a name is involved with Toronto, that drives up the price. Now, sometimes we've seen these deals that Dubas has made. Dubas learned a lot from Lou Lamoriello. We've seen these deals that Dubas has made trading for guys that we didn't hear anything about. And that is probably the way things will go. Like Lyubushkin, like somebody in the chat just said, nobody heard about Lyubushkin. Nobody heard about the Jake Muzzin deal before it happened. He's very covert in that respect, and that keeps the price down. If the name gets out there, then the price, and it's out in the media, it's going to get driven up. That's why, like Luke Shen, we've talked about Luke Shen for 3 or 4 months. It makes perfect sense, but do the Leafs want to trade a second round pick for a rental in Luke Shen? No.
And then you have a revolving door of defensemen. You have more body, unless you're moving out a defenseman. You have more bodies than you have places for these bodies to play.
I do think the one thing that is true is with the loss of Muzzin that they're looking to add size on the blue line. I do believe that, some physicality, because Liljegren has been really good this year. I think he's a top four defenseman. Riley and Brody, Giordano was playing more minutes I think they want him to play. My trust issues with Justin Hall. Sandin has some holes in his game still. He gets muscled off the puck. Timmins is a little questionable defensively. But all in all, I think their defense is workable. But they need forwards. They need more depth up front. If you look at Boston and they got Zaka and Foligno and AJ Greer, who they're getting production from these guys and the guys that I mentioned from Tampa. And right now, the Leafs are getting no production from their bottom six. And that is going to be, you cannot rely completely and utterly on their top six to carry the water in a playoff scenario, because the whole thing is, okay, you shut down Matthews, you shut down Tavares, and then what is left? That's what teams will try to do. They'll try to shut down those lines. And if you shut them down and the power play can be controlled,
right,
and the Leafs offense is going to dry up.
They're just guys on the bottom six. And with all due respect, they're NHLers, fantastic athletes. We've seen flashes, but at this point, they're just guys. And I don't see how the bottom six at this point is forming into or showing itself to be that integral support group of the top guys. And, the conduit between the top guys and the defense, who will be 3 or 4 rounds deep. Right. You're not seeing that. That there's an injection of a Ryan O'Reilly help or a Max Domi feistiness, some pedigree, some understanding of what it takes to win, especially when you're Ryan O'Reilly. Can he wrangle this group by the collective neck and move it forward? That's the thing, Mike. If we wouldn't have a Leafs combo, there would be no point of us discussing things weekly if there weren't things to discuss and there weren't things about the team that we were concerned about or excited about. So here we are, about a 70-point club, fifth or whatever in the league. And sure, it looks great on paper, but it feels like we're still so far away. And a lot of it really just has to do with the fact that there has been no playoff success. It's not that the group isn't excellent in its own right, but we really have nowhere, we have nothing to judge it on other than failure in the playoffs. So, at this point right now, I'm not a big fan of the bottom six group. They just look like guys. They're just guys. Maybe they morph into something else, but they've got to give themselves an opportunity to do that. And to do that, you probably need better guys to put themselves in a position of success.
Well,
I do think
that the performance against the Bruins, which they were in the game for two periods, but the best that they did was tie that game. I do think that performance against the Bruins on Wednesday, the performance against the Bruins in Boston earlier last month, and the loss to Tampa Bay would serve as a wake-up call to Kyle Dubas, because those are head-to-head matchups. Those are head-to-head matchups in the regular season. You know, the playoffs are different, but you've got one team that has the core that won a Stanley Cup 12 years ago and has been in three Stanley Cups, and you have Tampa Bay, who's been in three straight Stanley Cup finals. So you know that's what you're coming up against.
But we outscored Tampa 24-23, and we're 10 Ooh, minutes.
Who gives some crap? I'm sorry, Dave.
Light years, Dave. It's light
who
years.
Who gives a crap if playoff series are not based on cumulative scoring? They lost game 7. Because they couldn't score on Vasilevsky, and they couldn't stop Nick Paul. And they had the lead in the series, and they blew it in game 6.
And that's different than this team and the teams the Leafs are going to face. So it's getting yourself ready to go for a long, protracted battle, you know, when it really, really counts. Do the Leafs have the guys? OG's Converse, let us know in community. Let us know in the chat. Let Mike know on his hockeybuzz.com. Call him. You can let us know on Twitter at Mike in Buffalo, at I am Norman James. Mike, we're kind of going long in the tooth here, but that's what we do when we talk about the Maple Leafs. We just kind of keep on going. What other points do you want to get to before we wrap her up and continue on with our Sundays?
Well, I'll just say this. I know that there is a little bit of a concern about the injury situation. I mean, right now the Leafs are locked in either in second or third place, so they're not going to rush back Auston Matthews. Auston Matthews, when they come back from the break on the 10th against Calgary or Columbus, excuse me.
It's a home and home with Columbus. That's a long break, by the way. Holy shit.
Well, they get the week. It's a week bye. There's a bye week in the year.
Okay, right.
So they attached that to the All-Star break, which a lot of people think that might be the possibility that they make a trade. They may make it now so they can work the new player or players in the deal into the sort of the swing of things. And that might happen. I think that you're going to see Matthews probably back by the middle to end of February. They're not going to rush him back. They need him back 100%. There's no risk of them falling out of the playoff race or falling into the wild card. You know, if they maintain a 500 record, they're going to be in second or third, depending on what Tampa does. The Matt Murray injury, it's an ankle, and there's a little concern about that because of Murray's history, but it doesn't sound like it's anything of a serious nature to the point that he's going to be out long term. Samsonov, you know, has done well. Taking on the number one level of work, the workload.
Mike, he's the one, and Murray's the 1A, right? I mean, just for the fact that we can at least trust that Samsonov's going to be there and he's young enough and healthy enough to do this. Is that a correct assessment of that tandem right now?
In terms of I am of the belief that based on if both goaltenders are healthy. When the middle of April comes around and they're playing in the first round of the playoffs, that Matt Murray will be the starter. But we don't know whether Matt Murray will be 100% healthy at that point. That was the risk that you took. And I was talking to a member of the media. We were talking about the Murray injury, and he was saying, you know, Matt Murray may be a buyout at the end of this year. If you look at his buyout numbers, they're like 200 and something thousand and 600,000. So this might have been a 1 year thing, but I do think that they believe in Murray and his ability in the playoffs, but it depends.
That's really up to him, Mike. You know well, that's up to him and his body and the grace of God, right?
Right. It depends on him. And yeah, Max, they don't need to send him to Robidoux Island. Go to Cap Friendly and look at the buyout calculator on that. It's like $266,000 for next season and like $600,000 the following year, which is nothing. So if they, you know, and they would clear $4.8 million in salary.
Island. Holy shit.
Well, yeah, that's always a great reference. But Samsonov right now has played very well in sort of the pseudo number one role. And I do think that the way, and Joseph Wall, who, you know, people sort of forgot about, he's like, I think he's 13-14-1 with the Marlies, and he got called up when Murray is hurt, and he went back down and he won another game. He's a player who is going to require waivers next year. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to want to lose a 24-year-old goaltender who might be coming into his own. So, yeah, you know, but I do believe that right now it's Murray starting game one in the playoffs if he's healthy. And then if he doesn't play well, then you can always go to Samsonov.
And it's a good problem to have. If Samsonov plays the bulk of the games, they maintain, they make some adjustments, maybe one or two to the blue line to get a little bit tougher to support the rest of the guys, make that bottom six more effective with some, you know, more energy, some toughness, and guys who understand what the fuck they're doing down there. And then, you know, Murray gets healthy and plays his games and does his thing. And that's a great problem to have when you're just about to take the leap into the playoffs. Who do you go with? So that, and that's the thing, to just to have more guys who are capable and to make those choices. I would take that conundrum over who the hell are we going to put in here who's worth his weight to do what we need to do and be effective and finally help us get over this hump. Because we can't keep thinking that, well, eventually it'll happen, right? Eventually it'll happen. Because the, you know, if you have that great group and you know you lost because somebody hit a wacky wind-aided home run in the extra innings and you lost that way, next time you can go back and put yourself in better position to actually determine the outcome earlier. We look at this group and we see the flaws, and you know, how the hell, other than, you know, some divine intervention, can this group, the way it's constructed right now, be that team that ends this Stanley Cup drought? And that's, I mean, maybe it does happen, Mike, and we'll both be eating crow, and gladly so, but you know, we can't just keep thinking that it'll eventually happen. You still have to work on amending what you have, strengthening what you have, and positioning yourself as great as much as you possibly can for success. And that still needs to be done between now and the next deadline for the team to make its to make its alterations to the roster, Mike. So what else do we have to do? Yeah. So obviously injury, the Matthews injury. He's just convalescing, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's and like I said, I don't think they're going to rush him back. I do think, though, that the injury has opened the eyes in terms of depth for this team going in the playoffs. One injury, and it's like a few years ago against Montreal. You know, in this instance, okay, Matthews is out, so Tavares moves up to number one. And Tavares is still can do it, but then your second line center, they tried Pontus Holmberg, that didn't work. Then they moved Alex Kerfoot in as a center. So it shows that center with one injury, which can happen in a playoff scenario, is a big hole. So, you know, you could say the same thing for Tampa. It's like, okay, you go into the playoffs, and had the Braden Point injury happened earlier than game seven. Remember, he couldn't stand on his leg after he got hurt in game seven, and the Leafs still couldn't win. So that's why depth is extremely important, and that's why I think that is what Kyle Dubas is going to address before March the 3rd.
Yeah, emotion and energy. Sometimes you wonder if these guys just think we'll drop the puck and play like it's shinny, and hopefully we'll come out on top. There's got to be more than just the skill. It's got to be more than just the want to do it. I mean, the effort and the energy and the experience from, you know, past failures have to motivate this team to get things done. And if we go back to last year and the year prior to that and the year prior to that, at this point we'd be like, it remains to be seen. We're you know, hopefully cautiously optimistic. We're quietly hopeful. I mean, those, you know, those feelings are always still there as a fan of a team, but what's the indication at this point? Not just looking at the stat sheet, but what's the indication in the way that this organization or this team is constructed that is, you know, makes you believe that this is the right year. This is the one that'll, that will finally, allow the team to break through. Like, it's Like, and that, and that's what I'm wrestling with right now, Mike. And I think a lot of other fans are feeling, you know, kind of that, those mixed emotions about what's going on, because it's like time will, you know, will eventually allow this team to do what it's got to do. But if you're not constructed properly, and you don't put yourself in the best position to do that, I mean, you can't just wait it out, right? I mean, you'll never get there.
I'll give you one final thing here for everybody to chew on, and you know that it's a pet peeve of mine because I mention it constantly. The next five games that the Leafs play are against three of the worst.
Yeah, that's correct.
Columbus, Chicago, Montreal, and at Chicago. A good team at least goes 4-1, maybe 5-0 against those teams that are trying to lose. Now, what do the Leafs do? If I had to bet, they go 3-2 or 2-1 or something. And that's what annoys me, because I think losing to those teams is a sign that you just, you know, like, you're not detail oriented. You've got to step on their neck and kill these teams. And the Leafs have always had trouble beating those teams. So we'll see, you know, when we do the next combo next Sunday, they'll have played the back-to-backs against Columbus. Columbus, who, you know, doesn't have great goaltending, doesn't have great defense, doesn't have great forwards, but they'll get up for the Leafs, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, playing like your hair is on fire is a thing. Boston does it. Tampa does it. If the Leafs were to do it too, maybe that's the difference, right? Maybe that's the difference. Step on the ice with determination and play with reckless abandon. Like your hair is on fire. Like you have something to prove. I mean, we're all sitting here talking on podcasts or on, you know, media platforms, social media platforms, whatever, talking about how we would do it. Maybe these guys are doing it, and this is as good as it gets, because, you know, half of these guys have personalities like saltine crackers. That's just the way this team is constructed. And, you know, no amount of alterations or amendments towards the end of the deadline are going to change that, right? And if the result is the same as what we've seen in the past, then, you know, you and I have been onto something all along. And this team's going to have to really take a close look in the mirror as to, you know, determining what it's about and what it wants to truly accomplish. And, you know, assessing to this point, its lack of accomplishments with the personnel in place. And, you know, how do you make those adjustments to finally get to where you want to go? OG's Conference, thanks so much for watching us. Like the content, subscribe to the channel. Make sure to be ready for the podcast that will drop here in the next 24 to 48 hours. Mike and I keep on keeping on. You have anything to say to us, do it in community, youtube.com/theleafsconvo/community. We're always active. We're always active. We're always available. If you want to chat with us, we'd love to get some interaction going. And in the meantime, there's not much Leaf hockey between now and Friday. So enjoy all of the preamble before moves are made. And, you know, time will tell, Michael, right?
That's true. I'll be writing about prospects and trade speculation this week on Hockey Buzz. So make sure you check in.
All righty. For Mike, I'm Norm. Thanks, guys. Talk to you in 7 days.